A critical evaluation of the use of satellite-derived air quality estimates in health studies.
So thanks again for the organizer for the invitation. I'm delighted to be here to share with you some of the work we have been doing at Emory. So our team has been particularly interested in the development and application of what we call novel air quality estimates for exposure assessment and linking them to epidemiological studies. So with 15 minutes today, I'm just going to show you one case study we're doing looking at PM2.5 that you heard from last talk and linking it to emergency department visits for respiratory diseases. And this is very much joint work with Stephanie Sarnett and Yang Lu, who are in the Environmental Health Department at Emory. Okay, so I thought I also have one slide to talk about why air pollution is important. It's again ubiquitous and involuntary. There's no alternative to breathing, and we're all exposed to it. Particularly, urban sources are mainly of anthropogenic origin. What I mean is that epidemiologic evidence has really played a very important role in setting regulatory standards and protecting public health. More recently, current research priorities are increasingly involved in spatially and temporally result analysis, and I'll show you one example of it looking at susceptible and vulnerable population within urban environment. Okay. Now, one challenge for epidemiologists when they do air pollution study is on the exposure assessment part. Specifically, what's the standard approach of doing exposure assessment for population study is to utilize air quality monitoring networks. These are routinely measured concentrations. They are there for regulatory purposes. What happens is that air quality monitoring networks, their locations are sparse spatially because they're expensive to maintain. They're also preferentially placed in locations with high air pollution level for regulatory purposes. Also, measurements are typically only available for every third or sixth day. So if you're doing acute studies, that becomes a problem. If you're looking at, for example, some of the birth outcome study, that's also a challenge when you're looking at monthly exposures. So again, the main challenge associated with using kind of the publicly available monitoring network is that one typically cannot characterize spatially heterogeneous pollutant well. And that leads into a number of measurement error issues. You know, for example, spatial misalignment, you know, preferential sampling, and we'll show you one example of that. So the motivating example we have are emergency department visits in Atlanta, and we're interested in looking at how daily variations in PM2.5 concentrations were associated with daily respiratory diseases. So what we have are essentially hospital billing records for almost 95% of the hospitals in the metropolitan Atlanta. That's what I have there. And it's actually a 20-county metro area. So it's actually quite a large area, quite a large study area. And it consists of about 186 zip codes. So the triangles there shows you all the hospitals that are reporting, and the red dot shows you the air pollution monitoring we have in Atlanta. So Atlanta is a special place because we do have very high air pollution. So our PM2.5 monitor is actually quite dense. We have about 3 or 4 EPA monitoring networks and a lot of local networks for air quality studies in Atlanta. So this gives us a chance to kind of illustrate the potential usage of some of these novel air quality estimates. Again, the idea is that even if we have, 11 monitors, we might not be able to characterize the spatial distribution well. So at least for this talk, we're going to focus on, like you've heard before, aerosol optical depth from remote sensing instruments. So, ALD is widely used to try to measure PM2.5 estimates. In fact, as you've seen in previous slides, most recent usage is in the WHO it's called global burden of disease to calibrate chemical transport models. And various studies have found association between AOD and PM2.5 concentrations, and it's been done in different geographical areas, different temporal scales. What's left being done is actually directly use this in an epi study. That's what we're interested in here. Again, it provides broad spatial coverage in places you don't have monitors. And in this case, we're going to utilize a recent implementation, the MIAC AOD data, which is available to us at 1 kilometer resolution. Just to show you our study domain, so that's a region kind of covering our Atlanta metro with all the monitors we have. So we have a total of about kind of a 9-year study period with about close to 600,000 grid cells. So in terms of a spatial temporal analysis, if you want to just create this, it also has a relatively severe big data problem. for fitting this model. So in terms of getting our PM 2.5 estimates, we take a really standard now a statistical downscaling data fusion approach. And the main idea is that we try to regress kind of what similar to the MOLE study, where our outcome is the monitoring measurements, and we try to find an association between the parameter of interest and our AOD asset predictors. What's a little bit different is that we assume there's an additive and multiplicative bias, this alpha and beta ST, and they're assumed to be very flexible. So what you want to imagine is that on each day, alpha and beta will be a continuous map that calibrates AOD to PN 2.5, and that map is allowed to be dynamically evolved through days. So it's a very flexible approach that allows us to calibrate AOD observations to monitoring measurements. And we also bring meteorology and land use parameters to help some of these calibrations. Just to show you a little about how the model actually performs, because this is at least at a 1 kilometer resolution. So what we have done is what we call leave one monitor out cross validation, just to see how our spatial prediction power does. And we have two models, one with AOD and one without AOD. And you can see that the model without AOD, so that would just be a standard land use regression type model. You can see that, you gain about 10% in R squared. What's important to us as a statistician is to make sure when I make my predictions, the 95% prediction interval actually does cover the truth 95% of the times. So then when I bring in those uncertainty in my health analysis, I can ensure I'm actually quantifying the uncertainties sufficiently. And that's just a scalar plot. So this is the count of the final results we get in terms of exposure extension within the 20 county Atlanta region, just to show you how much of a difference. So that's right there, it's that little 10-20 region. It's very smooth because of all the monitors there. But once you bring 1 kilometer AOD, with land use model, et cetera, you can really kind of see the spatial gradients within Atlanta. And some of these regions does correspond to, you probably cannot see the I-20 highway as well as somewhere, up in the northwest, that's where some of the coal power plants are located. So this does correspond very well to what our understanding of the air pollution gradients in Atlanta. So what we then have to do is to actually utilize this kind of spatial fields into our health studies. And like most administrative health studies, the health can actually come to us aggregated over some spatial geography. So what we have to do next is to do what's known as spatial upscaling. And the basic idea is that within each of these 186 zip codes, we take a spatial average of all the 1 kilometer grid cells just to still maintain the spatial representation, but to account for all the spatial variability within each zip code. So when you upgrade, we get something like that. What we then have to do is to be faithful to our data, our health data, is to then aggregate this back into a temporal scale. So we now have to divide a population average daily measurements of air or PM2.5 estimates, and we do that simply by taking a spatial average of all these estimates and weighted by population at risk. So that's just a simple population weighted average, and you can play with the population if you're looking at different age groups or different susceptible populations. But in the end, what we get is the thing down here. We have 9 years of daily PM 2.5 measurements. They're population weighted across zip codes. They also incorporate fine scale spatial gradients, and you can see the daily variation in PM 2.5 given in red. And the gray bars are the uncertainty associated with these estimates. So in our health analysis, we're going to not only use the red line, but also try to incorporate this uncertainty in our prediction when we do epidemiologic research. Okay. Now to link that to a time series health model, this is again pretty standard model these days. So what I have on top is the daily variation in respiratory diseases and asthma, emergency department visits on each day over the same period. So that's our daily health outcome, and that's our daily exposure. So our goal is just to kind of do a simple Poisson regression. We do have the control for a lot of things. There are known confounders such as temporal trends, meteorology. They are kind of associated with pollution level, but as well as respiratory emergency department visits. But for this talk, I'm going to skip through lots of these details. So here are the kind of the four health associations I want to present to you. So these are the relative increase in respiratory ED visits per 10 microgram increase in previous day PM 2.5. So that's our in Atlanta. So the scale 10 unit is pretty standard, but in Atlanta, the interquartile range is about 8 or 9. So the top two estimates are kind of what we call a standard approach, where we use a central site that in Atlanta does provide daily measurements, as well as an average across all monitors. And then the bottom two, we have two kind of our AOD derived estimates, one with and one without accounting for prediction error. So one thing you want to know is that the AOD estimates actually give you quite a similar kind of overall magnitude and direction. And to us, that's a good thing because, you know, the AOD estimates actually do not utilize monitor measurement at all. It's a purely calibrated AOD estimates. You can see that if we do account for prediction error, it gets attenuated a little bit, but the 95% confidence interval does get inflated, and that's also what we want and expected. There's some evidence that, you know, the estimates are a little bit larger if you account for the fine scale spatial variability. What we're also interested in is to look at whether or not there are susceptible populations who are more at risk of the air pollution risk. So what we decided to do is to now do a stratified analysis where we look at the population that are living in a lower socioeconomic regions versus the other. So what I show you here is a spatial distribution of the total population living below poverty. And here we did a cut point at the median, which is about 8%. So what you want to see is that, you know, often the population or the effect modifier you're interested in also exhibit a lot of spatial gradient, spatial variation. And if one to just take a spatial average of the monitors, you're going to have this kind of preferential measurement error between the different populations. So now that we have this distribution in percent poverty, we can then assign exposure specifically to that neighborhood using what we have here. Okay, that kind of accounts for the variability in the effect modifier as well as the exposure. So here are the estimates we got. Again, looking at the four different metrics, but then now stratify with a population that living zip code with less than 8%, population below poverty, and then greater than 8%. Now this is where we actually see a little bit more differences in terms of the magnitude, especially if you're comparing high and low poverty rates. And you can see that the estimate actually got a lot more higher if you're using a more spatially resolved estimate. And in fact, if you just do the central side, you actually will lose the association to be detected. I'll just give you a very quick summary. At least in our Atlanta case studies, now here I only presented you one outcome and one ED visit. We're also looking at this with birth outcomes, with different pollutants, as well as looking at difference between personal and ambient estimates. But what we found is that the use of a central monitor may be insufficient to capture population exposure for time series studies. That's the kind of standard approach to look at acute effect. What I didn't show you here is that we also run simulation study where we assume we only have 1 in 3 measurements, kind of the typical data we have for metropolitan area, and the effects are actually more severe if you're not able to fill in those 1 in 3 days. What we found also is that incorporating spatial resolved concentration and exposure assessment tends to lead to stronger association. And this is particularly important if you're interested in looking at effect modifier that has spatial distribution itself. And we find suggested evidence that a stronger adverse air pollution effect or association were in regions with higher proportion of population living under poverty guideline, which you would have missed if you just use a central monitor or a population average. And I think that's all I have. Thank you. I'll take it.